Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. Welcome to another program, and we'll be looking at Luke chapter 5 and verses 12 to 26, where we look at two magnificent miracles of Jesus Christ. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, this is your word about your Son. We ask that we will glorify the name of Jesus Christ, glorify the power of God, and show the world how much you love us in our daily situations. And we ask this now as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's have a look at the passage and read it right through and get your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Okay, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 26, and I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. While he was in one of the cities, that's Jesus, there came a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. One of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Now, in today's broadcast, we're going to be looking at two huge miracles of Jesus Christ. Both of these people had been in a chronic condition. They'd been in this way for a long, long time. And in a sudden moment, Jesus changed everything about their life. They were completely changed. Their lives were turned around in a minute or even less through the power of the Word of God spoken by Jesus Christ, who loves us and redeems us. You've got to realize there was nothing special about these people. They were just ordinary, everyday people going about their lives, and they were trapped in a certain condition that had held them that way for a long time. Just like you or I, we can be trapped in a certain condition, a way of thinking, an addiction, a sin, a disease, a pain in the body, all kinds of things, or a demonic affliction or oppression. And simply a word or a command from Jesus Christ spoken into our condition and into their conditions can change everything, and it doesn't have to be gradual. It can happen in an instant, in a miraculous, powerful instant. The Word of God can touch your life and turn it around, and you need to believe, you need to have faith that God can heal you, that God can change you, that God can turn your situation around. And he said that his faith had made him clean, that his faith had caused this person to rise up and walk. God looks for our faith, or the faith of our friends. And so here with the leper, he sees the leper coming up and says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this leper had leprosy. He was full of leprosy. I've only seen a person completely full of leprosy once in my life. That was in Manila. It was a very unfortunate circumstance. I was leaving home to go to the airport in Manila. I used to live in the Philippines, and I was leaving my house where I was in the Philippines, and I was on the taxi in the middle of this huge traffic jam in Manila, heading to Manila Airport, and there was a tapping on my window, and it's common for beggars to tap on window and you give them some money. And here I was, and the person tapped, and I turned my head, and he was full of leprosy. You could see into the bones and structure of the face. The leprosy had eaten away his entire face and most of his head, and his eyes were sunk back, and he was skeletal. There was so little left of this man from the way the leprosy had eaten. I could see into the hollows of his head and his skull, and the flesh had been ripped away by leprosy. This person looked like he was like a minute or two away from passing from this world. He was so full of leprosy. It was a terrible condition, and I gasped in horror. I gasped in shock. I had never seen someone with his whole head was full of leprosy like that, where I could see the skull. I could see the bones of the face. I could see the white of the bones of the face. There was no nasal cavity. There was no nose there. The nose had been taken away by the leprosy, and you could see into where the nose should have been, into the person's skull. And I gasped. I had never seen this before in my life. I've not been that well exposed to leprosy, and where I have seen it, it's been in places where it's been well treated with required medication, and they were just in the fingers and the toes and things like that. But here, the whole person was full of leprosy, and I gasped. And I just didn't know what to do. My face was so full of shock and horror. And then I thought, I'd better give this person some money. But before I could give them some money, the taxi driver just moved the car forward and left the person behind. And I thought to myself, what a terrible life that person must have. What a terrible life that person must see when he taps on those windows and people turn their heads and every single person would go, like that. How would you feel when everyone is horrified at the sight of you? And that was a person who was full of leprosy, their life torn from them by Hansen's disease. Now we have cures for it. There's a small pill. I can't remember the name of that pill, but it works marvelously to prevent and to cure leprosy in people. And so this is what this man was like. He was incurable. He was outcast. Everyone who looked at him gasped with horror because his whole mind and body and soul was filled with this leprosy. It was the most identifying factor about him. And yet, despite the condition he was in, despite the overwhelming nature of the leprosy, he said in himself, I can be clean. I can recover. I can get out of this condition if I get help from Jesus. And here is a key to you getting out of your condition. You must say, I can be clean. I can be whole. I can be cured. I can have peace of mind. My arthritis or this or that can be cured. And you have to have the faith of the leper. And the face knew it was possible. It was possible. It wasn't a closed thing. It wasn't a done deal. He wasn't stuck with leprosy for the rest of his life. And you hear some people and they talk on and on and on about whatever condition they're in as if they're stuck with it for life. But the leper thought his leprosy was a passing thing, that it could go away, that it could be taken care of by the hand of Jesus Christ, even though he was full of leprosy, even though it was through every molecule of him, even though it was the most identifying thing about him, he did not identify with the leprosy. He knew who he was deep down as a human being made in the image of God, and this leprosy was a rotten wrong thing, and Jesus could get rid of it. Jesus could cast it out. Jesus could make him whole and normal. And you have to believe that whatever you're going through, your financial condition, your physical condition, your mental condition, the condition of your soul, you might say that you are a sinner. You cannot possibly repent. You cannot come to God. You are stuck in your sins. You're stuck with your idols. You're stuck with your idolatry. You're stuck with your bad habits. But you can be clean. You can be saved. You can be healed. You can be restored. You can find Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That can happen to you. You've just got to believe that it's possible for you to be saved when Jesus reaches out his hand. And what did Jesus do? Here's this man. He's full of leprosy. He's frightened everyone for years and years now. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. Touches the man who was full of leprosy, the man who was unclean, the man who was outcast, the man whom no one wanted to touch. Jesus touched him. He touched him with the grace of God. He touched him with the power of God. And he says, I will be clean. In other words, it was Jesus' will that this man be cleaned up and cured of his leprosy. It's the will of Jesus Christ, the compassionate one, the Savior, the Lord, the healer, the soon coming King. It is the will of Jesus Christ for the leper to be cleansed, because Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is kind. Jesus has compassion on the masses. He has compassion on the sick, the lonely, and the hurt. And this is just common sense. When you take someone into a hospital who's been in a car accident, what do the nurses do? Do they say, oh, this person is unworthy, this person is this? No, they have compassion on the person in the car accident. They stretch out their nursing hands and they do all they can to heal the person that's the car accident victim. Well, leprosy's like that. It's like an accident that happens. A germ gets in there, Hansen's disease takes hold, this terrible thing or a virus or whatever leprosy is, it takes hold. This was an accident that had happened to this person, but it was in the form of a disease. And Jesus reached out his hand and said, I will. It is my will that you be cleansed, you be healed, you be made whole. Because Jesus is not harsh. He is kind. He is meek and lowly of heart, and he will give rest to your soul. And soon, what happens when Jesus says that? And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and take as an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. And so he reaches out his hand, and you see this, how bad the leprosy said. As he fell on his face and begged him. This is how bad the leprosy was. It had taken this man completely over his whole life. He wanted it with his whole being. He bows down before Jesus. He's desperate. He falls on his face and he begs Jesus. And Jesus says, I will be clean. And the leprosy left him in a moment. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Immediately, your life can be changed just like the life of the leper was changed. He didn't have to wait 2 weeks. He didn't have to wait 3 weeks. He didn't have to wait any time at all. Jesus changed his condition right there and right then. And when I was saved, it was completely immediate. I wasn't even looking for salvation, but Jesus reached out to me and appeared as a light and spoke to me, and I became saved. And it all happened in a few minutes, and I was saved, and I had gone from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. And God can change your life. You can be baptized in the Spirit. One moment you have a dead and dry spiritual life, then you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues or whatever happens when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you start feeling the power of God inside your bones. You start being able to witness and do mighty things for God because you got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. God can change you inside and out. God can reach into you. You might be full of bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, and rage. And Jesus can say, are you willing to get rid of that? Are you willing to take your bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, and rage and dump it to me? And when you say, yes, Lord, take the burden of my heart. Take all my anger, all my pain, all my trauma, and heal it now, and Jesus will take it. He will heal it. I had many things happen in my childhood that left me very traumatized. And in 1997, I flew from Australia, where I was born, all the way over to America. And in 1997, I had a 20-minute prayer session with a man in Oklahoma. And suddenly after that prayer session, I was completely free of all my trauma, and it never bothered me again. It bothered me day and night. But then it was healed. It was healed instantly and immediately. And I can tell you that God can heal your emotions. He can heal your body. Just a couple of weeks ago, my pastor prayed for my back, and my back was healed. God can heal you. God can heal you instantly. God can do mighty works, and the word is immediately. God acts in the moment. So why is it immediate? Because God is eternal, and when God speaks, he is speaking from eternity into time, and his eternity dominates. When eternity intersects history, things happen immediately. When eternity intersects history, then things happen immediately, and great crowds gathered. And then Jesus would go into desolate places and pray. Just a note here, if Jesus needs to pull apart and pray, so do you and so do I. You need to have a quiet time, and it needs to be quiet and needs to be away from people. Jesus did not dwell in the midst of distraction. Put your phone away, put it far from you, go and pray. Go and find a quiet place wherever you can. Make it happen. And Jesus would do this often. He would pull into desolate places, quiet places, away from people and noise, distraction and demands. Even though he was famous, even though he had a terrific ministry, Jesus himself needed to pray. And if Jesus needs to pray regularly, then you need to pray regularly. You and I, every pastor, every Christian worker, every counselor, every evangelist and apostle, we all need to get aside and pray, to be charged up by God, to do the works of the Lord. So, on one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him, with Jesus, to heal. So here we are, and we think from cross-referencing, Jesus was at his house in Capernaum. Jesus appears to have had a house in Capernaum for a while. We don't know how long he had that house, but it's mentioned perhaps a couple of times in the gospel. So he had a house, and it was big enough to accommodate all these Pharisees and teachers of the law, and they would come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. He had a big audience in a house in Capernaum, and he was teaching. And as he was teaching, he sensed the move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He could feel the anointing, and he knew, it's healing time. It's healing time. The Holy Ghost's upon me. It's healing time. And he was ready to heal. He knew that God wanted him to heal people right then and there. And so he was going to do some healing, because Jesus just did as the Father ordained. He did nothing except what the Father commanded. And the Father was speaking through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, saying, the power of God is upon you to heal. Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of this vast crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And if this is Jesus' house, you'd think he'd be annoyed and say, hey, stop messing with the roof. No. He saw the human need. First of all, he saw the desperation of the four friends that we see in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew and the synoptics here, along with Luke. And when he saw their faith, the faith of the four friends and the paralytic, he turns to the paralytic and says, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, he knew what he's doing here. He knew what he was saying. He knew how controversial this was. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. And the forgiveness of sin is often a great prelude to a healing miracle. Be cleansed before God. Confess your sins to the Lord and be healed. That's in James chapter 5. Confess your sins to one another and be healed, because when you're clean, when you're holy, when you've confessed your sins before God and sought redress, sought confession, when you've come before the Lord and got rid of all the junk in your life, then the miracles can happen, because you're standing right before God. And he knew what this person needed. First of all, the big miracle, the main miracle this person needed, was to have their sins forgiven, to be put right with God, to be saved. And so Jesus looks at this person and knows there's a spiritual problem and a physical problem. So he looks at the spiritual problem first. And if you're a minister, you're a pastor, a reverend, an evangelist, a deacon or an elder, you've got to look for the spiritual problem first. Deal with the spiritual problem before you deal with the practical problems. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Because God is the one with the account book. He's the one with the books of heaven. How can he wipe out the things in the books of heaven? Does Jesus have authority over sins? Yes, he does. Jesus can forgive your sins in a moment. He cleanses you with the blood of the Lamb. He sacrificed his life on the cross so that your sins may be forgiven, so your spiritual problems may be wiped out, so your curses can be taken, So there is no more spiritual handwriting against you. No hex, no curse, no spell, no charges against you. You are clean before God. Your sins are forgiven. You are set right. All of your spiritual problems of any sort can be dealt with through the cross of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Heal all of my spiritual problems right now through the work that you have done on the cross, because it's Jesus who is the healer. It's Jesus who forgives your sins. And you just come to him. And so who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus Christ through the cross and those who preach the name of Jesus. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And the man was healed. He arose, he picked up his bed, and he went home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. So a few things here. Firstly, it was immediate. Again, God acted in the moment. The need was met then and there, not 5 weeks later. God did it. God changed it. God turned it around in an instant, in a moment. All was well. He turned it around before people in public, the scribes and the Pharisees, before all the doubters, before all the accusers. This man was lifted up. He was glorified in a way. He was made important. He was healed. His sins were forgiven. And he could walk out of there with pride, carrying his bed, never to go back to the invalid lifestyle again. And so he doesn't go back to being an invalid. He walks proud and strong, able to do a good day's work the next day. He is fully strong. He's not wobbling here and there. He's not limping on one leg. He's not hopping. He's healed. He's whole. He's able to work and able to carry his mat home and show his family what the Lord has done for him. This is a mighty miracle. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and are filled with awe, saying, We have seen extraordinary things today. Yes, the extraordinary things can happen today. They can happen today. As you're listening to this broadcast, God can raise you up. He can cleanse you of your leprosy. He can make you rise up and walk. You might think, I'm stuck in my situation. You might think that you're stuck in a certain financial level in life. You might think you're stuck with a certain disease. You might think you're stuck with your depression or your anxiety. You might think you're stuck in a job that you can never get any better. But God has a way out of these situations. Both the leper and the lame man seem stuck forever in the natural world. The natural man or natural woman looking at them, the scientist coming along, the doctor coming along would say, there's no hope for you. This is the end. This is the situation. You just have to accept this is the way you are. But that is not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say to the leper, you're full of leprosy. You're going to have to accept dying from leprosy. Did he say that? No, he says, be cleansed. And he was cleansed. It is unacceptable to accept evil. And Jesus didn't accept evil. He didn't accept evil dominating people's lives. He didn't accept leprosy dominating someone's life. He didn't accept lameness dominating people's lives. He looked for that spark of faith. He saw the faith of those bringing the lame man in. He saw the faith in the heart of the leper casting himself at Jesus' feet and saying, if you are willing, be cleansed. He saw the faith in both of these people, both of these situations, and he unleashed salvation in all its multiple dimensions. We have salvation from sin, obviously, in this second case. We have salvation from disease. We have salvation from dominating life circumstances. We have salvation at every level of life happening here. Capital S, salvation of sin, and small s, salvation out of the circumstances of life. What's today's lesson? Today's lesson is that God can transform you in the moment through faith. Whatever your situation is, God can transform it through faith if you believe, because God is compassionate, God is kind, God cares about ordinary everyday people like you, like the leper, like the lame man, and God will reach out his hand and touch you where you are. You don't have to be a special class of person. You don't have to be a minister or a rich person or a glamorous person. God is interested in you, the listener to this broadcast. God wants to change the circumstances of your life in an instant. Immediately they were cleansed. Immediately they were healed. Grasp the immediately. Grasp eternity coming into history and making an immediate, powerful, redemptive change in your life. If you say, there's nothing I need redeemed, then you're in trouble. God has to redeem you just from the things of this world. Think, where do I need redemption? Where do I need God to turn up? They knew what they needed. The leper knew he needed to be made clean. The lame man knew that he needed to walk. You might need something simple, like a new job, a financial change, a new set of friends to come into your life. You might need your ministry to take off. You might need a financial blessing. You might need to be healed of malaria. Whatever you need, reach out to God right now and say, Lord, I believe you're the God of immediate change. I claim my immediate change from you by faith right now. I claim my needed immediate change from you by faith right now. And stand in that. Agree. Get your friends to agree with you. And God's immediate change, God's immediate power, the power from heaven, the power of the kingdom of God that surrounds us at all times in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm's right next to you. The miracle's right next to you. It's not down the road. It's not round the corner. It's not across the seas. God's kingdom is always around you. God's spirit is always around you. And God's eyes are always upon you. Reach out and say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me from my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus Christ, restore my joy in life to me. Lord Jesus Christ, help me with my family situation. Bring peace where there is no peace. Do what is impossible. Make it possible through your mighty power right now. God can shake the heavens and the earth on your behalf. If you need justice, say, God, I need justice. Come and turn things around in my situation. I believe that I can receive the gracious gifts of God. Tell God that you believe that you can receive the gracious gifts of God and be changed today, at this time, and give glory to God. We have seen extraordinary things today. That's what they said. We have seen extraordinary things today, and may extraordinary things happen to you. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.